Hey, beautiful people, welcome to episode 40. Yeah, we're surprised too. Of Off Color Cast, this is a segmented EDH podcast, it's most of the time anyway, that loves to focus on the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. This is Chris, I play this here game, and I'm Butthole. I have two very special guests with us this week, imagine that. The first one is Cassidy Silver over at the TCG Player. Why don't you say hello to everybody there, Cassidy Silver over at the TCG Player.
Hello, everyone. I'm Cassidy Silver over at the TCG Player. I write there. I'm at Writer of Wrong on the Twitter thingy, and that's me in a nutshell.
And hailing from parts unknown, we have Calvin Russell, a.k.a. Captain Red Zone. Why don't you say hello as well?
Hey, everybody. This is Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone around the internet. As far as those parts unknown are concerned, as far as I know, I'm pretty sure they involve streets of, like, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Streets.
Yeah, dirty streets. Dirty Jersey streets. Yeah, that's roughly everything you're going to have to hear from me at the moment, because we got to get into this thing.
Green bastard from parts unknown.
Like smegma.
Alright, kids, well, if you guys remember the cliffhanger we ended on last week, we're continuing with the, the Ravnica versus Return to Ravnica, general guild leader versus guild leader, who we like more kind of thing. I realized the first episode of Commander Cast also talked about the, five of the, Ravnica guild leaders, and they were saying Asperia was the guild leader, but we're sticking with, Grand Arbiter. We know our shit.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Alright, so, Calvin, I believe it was your turn, and I'm pretty sure I know which guild you're gonna take.
Alright, so before, like, you know, this thing rotates around in some different direction and I don't get a chance to pick the guild I'm gonna pick anyway, the guild that we're gonna be discussing first today is gonna have to be the Boros Guild. And yes, everybody knows that I love the Boros Guild because, you know, it's my favorite two color combinations and they do something that I enjoy, and that's attacking. So, we're gonna do a comparison of Razair, the Boros Archangel, who's, four colors, two red and a white, legendary angel, has flying, vigilance, and haste.
The 6/3.
She's a 6/3. Ah. She has the ability that says tap. The next 3 damage that would be dealt to target creature you control this turn is dealt to another target creature instead. We're gonna put this lovely lady up against Arella, the war leader. She's 2 colors. Red, red, white, white. She's a 3/4. She's also got flying, also has vigilance, and also has haste. And she's got an ability as well, which says, whenever Arella the War Leader attacks for the first time each turn, untap all creatures you control. After this phase, there is an additional combat phase. So, seeing as how we're going to be doing a quick comparison, like, I personally would have to say, like, these girls are pretty interesting. In and of themselves, because, you know, they both kind of fall into almost the same category of angels with huge mana costs that have flying, vigilance, and haste. Razair has a thing for her where she can actually kind of do 6 points of general damage quickly, so she can pretty much take an opponent out pretty fast. And granted, while Arella can do 6 points of damage, she kind of has to get through twice. Which means, like, if your opponent has a creature that's flying, that's got, like, say, I don't know, like, a flying creature, like, let's say Baneslayer Angel? That's a pretty decent one. Say your opponent has a flying 5/5 angel, like Baneslayer Angel. Rizella can actually take out the Baneslayer Angel. Whereas, Arella kinda has to sit back and wait because she can't really get through. Especially since, Rizella could prevent the damage that would be dealt to her anyway. And seeing as how she would then be taking 3, then she'd end up taking 2 from the Slayer. Then she would deal 6 to the Bane Slayer Angel. Correct?
Yes.
And with that, with the way she would be, the way Zom she set up, seeing as how she could take this layer out, the other one wouldn't have, would have to actually wait and would still be able to do 6 damage if she could get through, but just, you know, she has to take a lot of time. But with, Rosella, one of the problems that she kind of has is the fact that she's like, what, 8 mana? And once you get to 8 mana, having a creature with, that can't really take your opponent out, like, right here and right now is kind of difficult. While Arella, even though she's 6 mana, she comes down 2 turns earlier and she can do pretty much the same amount of damage if she can get through. But she can also allow your other creatures to be able to get extra attacks in. And you have to remember with Arella, the damage that's dealt during the first combat phase is still on when the second one comes around. So with that in mind, she could potentially have her other creatures take out creatures that are way bigger than what they should be. Or that they can actually take out creatures that are way bigger than the ones you have, because your creatures basically get a chance to do double the damage. And they take double the damage, but still. I'm done rambling here. Chris, okay. Kath?
Well, I like the fact that Aurelia comes down, you know, 2 turns earlier, is 6 mana. When she attacks, you get to untap everybody you have, not like all your samurai, not like all your even numbered converted mana cost dudes or anything stupid. It's just all your dudes. Bam. Going in again. Pumps are still there. If you're running instant indestructibility for some reason, it's still there. I just feel like it's a better ability for taking control, which is something that, red-white can have a little bit of problems with. I mean, if you're, waiting for your bomb, Razia, to come down on turn 8, and it's like, alright, Razia and my dudes, it's not really that exciting. Unless you're doing something kind of wonky. I think Razia might lend itself more to wonky things, and really is probably just a better angel.
I mean, when it comes to Razia, there's nothing I really like about that card. I've never been super interested in her at all.
I would almost rather they just make her a 6/6 and get rid of her stupid ability.
Yeah, I mean, the ability just is, it's a do-nothing ability. I mean, when I first read her, I thought she lightning bolted, and I thought she was like a lightning helix on a stick. So I was like, okay, that's alright. But then when I reread it, I was like, oh, never mind, it's super shitty. It's like the opposite, you know what I mean? So,
Well, you can point it at somebody's, like, utility creature if you need to. It's like, oh, look at that Oracle Moldiah dead. But, yeah, I would rather probably just kill people.
Well, also, I mean, if no one's dealing 3 damage to you, then you can't do anything with her except for just swing. You know what I mean? Like, it requires someone to deal damage to you, and I get comboed out a lot, so, she could possibly do nothing. Aurelia, on the other hand, you know, we talked about it a little bit, 2 weeks ago or so, I think, and, you know, Aurelia's pretty cool. I think Giselle is still better, but when it comes to comparing her to Razia, there's not even like a little bit of a comparison. I think even Aurelia has flavor text on her that kind of alludes to the fact that she's way more badass than Razia. Let me see.
Well, Razia kind of died like a chump, and Aurelia's like, yo, nope, this ain't happening.
Yeah, here's the flavor text. Where Razia was aloof and untouchable, Aurelia is on the front lines, calling for war. Yeah. You can already tell. I mean, Boros being aloof and untouchable, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, she had her house Agris cost to take care of the day-to-day business. And since he's dead, Aurelia doesn't have that going for her.
Yeah.
I see some pretty hot flavor text too, dear Cass.
What?
Razia had a nice flavor text on her too.
Oh, let me read.
Like her sword burns in such brightness that foes avert their eyes and arrows divert their paths. I kind of prefer that over the other one.
Nah,
that's my thing. Calling someone aloof, but then again, you know, at 8 mana, she is kind of lazy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She's a big, she's a big lazy dude.
I have to admit, Aurelia is more dressed for battle as well.
Yeah, they make sure to have all the angels dual wield when they're Boros generals now.
Well, or just like wearing armor that covers her midriff. Razia's kind of a skank.
So she's too busy.
Is she hoeing?
Yeah.
Is that what she's doing?
You know, I noticed though that like if you take any of the angels' pictures nowadays, like and switch them around, you never know. It's like, just identify this angel from this picture. You'd be like, angel, that's red.
You remember? It's not like old Sarah Angel where it's like, yeah, that's ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Boros, those two, it's a pretty hard comparison. Razia is probably one of the worst legends in general, and she doesn't even get put in like the worst red-white decks, I don't think, very often. And if she is in there, like, you'll play with her twice and be like, I'd rather have Kamal Pit Fighter at this point. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I guess we can vote. Calvin might as well start the vote.
Well, if we're going to do a vote here and do a comparison of these two particular angels, my vote for the general I would want to build a deck around would have to be Aurelia, the War Leader. In fact, the main reason I'm saying this is because I've had the option to build with the Archangel, and instead I've always gone with Argus Cost. And I actually am kind of like, I actually currently have a deck built with the other... the Boros Angel from, Avacyn Restored?
Gisela?
Gisela? Yeah, and I'm still kind of thinking about whether or not I should kind of give Aurelia a chance at the spotlight on that. I mean, I can easily just switch her in and out if I wanted to. So I might, like, when I get a copy of her, I might actually put her in and just give her a try for a couple of weeks, see how it works.
Alright, I would also rather build a deck around Aurelia something, the War Leader. I've probably been calling her the Warlord every time. I think Warlord is a better name. But yeah, it's just, I'm not big on extra attack phases, unless it's that stupid Hellkite, because he's funny. But yeah, I just have never liked Razia, and I like Red-White a lot. And it's just like, dude, come on.
Yeah, if I was going to build around one, I would totally choose Aurelia. You know, it's gonna go a lot back to what we've already talked about, but, she's inferior to Gisela, but besides that, I think that she's definitely the next best Boros Angel, and probably, and she's way more generic too, that, you know, you can do whatever you want with her, basically, like, she's just good, she's gonna get the job done, and, Razia is quite the opposite, Razia's not gonna do anything. So, yep, I definitely would build around, Aurelia. And if not build around her, she's definitely going in any Boros deck I make, you know what I mean? Like, she's one of those staples, just because she's so good. Okay, alright, so, you know what, the guild I was most excited about, but I think the most let down in a lot of ways, and that'll be, the Dimir Guild. I don't know why I want to keep calling it a clan. They seem so ninja-ish. Dimir has some pretty shitty choices all around. Let me see here. So Zadek, yes. SZ next to each other. It's just so unnecessary in English because no one knows how to pronounce that shit. Like, congratulations, you made another card we can't pronounce, and therefore don't care even less about this stupid thing. Anyways, he's the Lord of Secrets. It's a pretty cool title. Yeah, it's too bad it's on this guy. He's 3 blue, blue, black, black, so 7 altogether. Legendary creature, vampire. Yeah, he's 5/5. So 7 for a 5/5 flying vampire it's okay. I mean, for blue, black, I guess it's what you'd expect. So, his ability, if he would deal damage to a player instead, put that many +1/+1 counters on him, and then that player puts that many cards from the top of his library into his graveyard. So basically he gets bigger and keeps milling. And then the new one is Lazav, Dimir Mastermind, who's blue-blue, bug-black, so he's 4 to cast, legendary creature, shapeshifter, 3/3. He's hexproof, which actually is pretty good, I kind of forget about that, but his ability... Oh god, it's so bad. Whenever a creature card is put into an opponent's graveyard from anywhere, you may have Lazav Dimir Mastermind become a copy of that card, except it's still Lazav Dimir Mastermind, so it keeps his name. It's a legendary in addition to its other types, so it's still a legend. And then it gains hexproof, so it keeps hexproof, and he keeps that ability. Man. Both of them are they're leaving so much to desire. Like, okay. 7 for 5/5 flying is okay, but the ability does not stack up. I mean, if he was like 3-3 for 5 and had that same ability, we'd be talking a totally different story. But once you get up that high, we mentioned it before, he needs to be at least winning the game instead of just threatening to sort of mill you out in a lot of turns. Oh, oops, I just turned up the volume. Hold on 1 second.
It sounded the same.
Up the volume.
No, I mean, I turned up your guys' volume, so it was, like, crackling like crazy. So that was my fault. So now we have, I mean, that's all I have to say about Poop Tech. Let's talk about Lazav now. You just have no control over what he turns into. I mean, I guess it's the definition of the kind of the Aikido style that people like to build, where it's, you know, he's only going to be as strong as your opponent's creatures are, which is kind of cool. I mean, they don't necessarily even have to die. If they get milled, which is a big theme in the new Dimir, I guess in Altamir, you know, it's a theme in this one, you know, that would activate as well, so you could choose that creature. So that's kind of cool. He could be an Ulamog, you know. He has that kind of Sakashima the Imposter feel to him too, so he doesn't die if that creature, that legend comes back or something. But he'll probably never end up being a general, and that's my main thing. Because the generals really don't go to the graveyard unless they're doing some shenanigans, so it's like, he can be a legend, but he can't be your opponent's general, you know? I don't know. So what do you guys think of the Dimir leaders here?
I mean, he still does general damage, right, when he hits somebody?
Yeah.
Since he's still the same dude, kind of like Sakashima.
Yeah, exactly.
I just, like, I don't know. I feel like Zadek is kind of like, even though he's not as big of a threat as he looks like, I feel like he's thought of as, like, an oppressive card. Because they just read, like they just assume that the best-case scenario happens every time, where he's just hitting dudes every turn and milling the crap out of them, when in reality that usually doesn't really happen that much. But I've always stayed away from Zadek just because of that, and I'm going to guess, Cassidy, if you could, you'd say Sirku is probably better than both of them. The guild champion as opposed to the leaders here. Even though that's pretty awful too, unless you're playing against three people that are running the same exact decks. But sometimes you'll hit like, you know, you'll hit like something, you know, somebody's Sensei's Divining Top and then nobody can play it. That's kind of neat. But Lazav is a little better, but I mean, you're basically living the dream and hoping that you mill an Ulamog at some point. And then, you know, you have a big old beater. But I liked Dimir Doppelganger, so I'm gonna like one where I don't have to pay mana or anything.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Do you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Just a second.
Yeah, I mean, I had to get up for a second. Did Calvin give his opinion out?
No.
Between the two of these guys, as far as the new one is concerned, we already have a Mimeoplasm.
Yeah, but he can't kill you with general damage.
Yeah, but still, it's like, I look at him, he's just, he's a smaller guy that can kill you with general damage, but the main reason he gets to do it is because he costs less than Kronge. So it's like, he's kind of like a nice little cheap version of Kronge. The old guy, he's got that mill thing going on, but at the same token, like, unless you're really into playing mill, you might not even care, might not even notice. And, you know, and you have to remember, these are 100 card decks we're trying to mill out here. And it's usually not just one of them. It's like usually like up to 3, maybe more. And yeah, like, Chris said, like the other guy, the lobotomist is actually better than both of these guys in my opinion, but I rarely play blue or black. But if I were just going to pick one, I'd probably end up picking the lobotomist instead of these two guys. But that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about these two extensively weird, various, I don't understand why someone would play these, but you know what, hey, people's got themes, I guess. Yeah, like that's all I can really say. I mean, Lazar's kind of interesting, I guess, but not really. And the thing is, his is like it's an opponent's graveyard, so you can't do anything. You can't even build your deck to do something with him. So it's not like I can take a creature from my like hand and slip into an opponent's graveyard to make him what I want him to be.
Yeah, that's pretty much it's pretty much the issue. I guess, like, with something like bribery, right? You bribe their creature and then it dies and then Lazab becomes it. Like, maybe you can take control of opponent's creatures more often and stuff, but it gets reset right away anyways. Or I guess you don't have to reset.
Yeah, it's a May.
It has May. You have the option to turn them into what you want, but the thing is, like, let's say, for instance, like, they're just dumping nothing that you want. Like, let's think of it like this. What if a 3-3 hexproof legend is the best thing that you can actually have that's on the field? You don't want one of these other guys that has to attack every turn if able, or one of these walls that your opponent happens to be playing because he's being defensive, or some weird other creature that has some type of stipulation where your opponent has to have a swamp in order to attack. You know?
Or if, like, a Raffalos dies, so you can just make a lot of colorless mana.
Well, it's forest you control, so you wouldn't make anything.
But, I don't know. I would go more of, like, a Voltron route with Lazav, since he's hexproof. And then just, if something dies that's better than what I've got, just, like, swap him out then.
Yeah, I mean, and it basically, it makes him, like, one of the best generals for that Akito kind of style, like a Rexiel deck almost, like where you kind of rely on your opponents to do some of the work. I can't say that I've ever really liked Serku very much in EDH. I would kind of felt a little gypped by him, but
compared to the other two.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really a great blue-black general yet. I still think Widwin's probably my favorite, but none of them really hit home like I want them to, so... Lazav is, that's a big reason why I was kind of disappointed with Lazav, because I was really hoping for something kind of like more roguey, you know what I mean? Something more like Tony Soprano style and less, whatever the fuck this thing is.
Well, I mean, Tony Soprano style would be more Orzhov anyway, since they're the Mafia.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, you're right. But the Dimir are kind of like the ninjas, right? They're kind of like Yeah, so something more shinobi, more Jubei Kubagami gear or something.
So, who would you rather build a deck around?
Oh, right, yes.
Just like between cancer and AIDS.
Yeah, I think you're right, Christian. I think the Voltron Lazav thing is pretty interesting. Zaw deck's been around for a while. You get one when you buy the Devour for Power deck. So it's like, pretty not worried about Zodic. So yeah, I go with Lazav, even though it's basically like, I'd rather have, breast cancer because it's easy to get rid of, I guess.
Yeah, if I had to pick one of these guys to be the one I'd actually choose, I guess. I guess it'd have to be Lazav. I mean, he's cheaper, and like, I don't have to worry about connecting to have him do whatever it is he's going to be doing. Unless, of course, somebody happens to mill something that requires connecting, then he's still in the same boat as the other guy.
Yeah, I would also...
This is hard. This is...
Yeah, I would also rather build a deck around Lazav, just because I don't like, I don't know, I don't like Zodic at all. I like Lazav a little bit, though I'd probably still put Dimir Doppelganger in the deck, which is completely useless at this point. Except Doppelganger does exile the card. So if you need pinpoint creature exile from a graveyard, Doppelganger is better for that, I guess. Alright, so we're starting to get into the dregs, as far as we're concerned, of the guilds we want to talk about. So I guess I'm just going to go with Izzet, since we're going to save the bestest guild for last, I think, because the comparison is so ridiculous. But, so Izzet is just Niv-Mizzet twice, but, the Ravnica version is Niv-Mizzet the Firemind. 2/2 blue, 2 red for a legendary creature, 4/4 flying dragon. Whenever you draw a card, Niv-Mizzet the Firemind deals 1 damage to target creature or player. Tap him to draw a card. And his flavor text says Niv-Mizzet if you hold it sideways. Then we have Niv-Mizzet, Draco Genius. Same converted mana cost for a 5/5 flying dragon wizard. Whenever Niv-Mizzet Draco Genius deals damage to a player, you may draw a card and pay 1 blue and 1 red to have him deal 1 damage to target creature or player. So the Return to Ravnica version is essentially just the fixed version of the Ravnica version, so that you can't just, put Curiosity or Ophidian Eye or something on him and, infinite combo, as long as nobody has any disruption. Besides that, I mean, I guess the new one has more power if you wanted to go for the Niv-Mizzet beats, which I doubt anybody's doing. But yeah, they're very similar.
Yeah, pretty much their abilities are flipped around so that the newer one is less broken. Like, it's still pretty good. The Draco Genius, that is. I mean, for me, it's like, well, why make him so similar if I'm just, you know, any Timmy Howard gamer is just going to go for the Fire Mind because he's so much better with magic cards.
Timmy Power Gamer doesn't care about that. He sees 5 Power Dragon.
It's pretty 2-card combos are right up to Timmy's alley. Oh, I guess Johnny's the combo player. Derp. Sorry. Anyways, you know, it's funny because when we were on Commander Cast, which hasn't come out yet, but we were, I asked William about Draco Genius. He claimed that, his Draco Genius deck was really fun and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, that's cool, but I mean, isn't he basically just an Izzet general that you build an Izzet deck with and he just is in it? And he's like, yeah, but, I can't remember exactly what he said, but he made the point that he's like not overpowered, but he's still good. Mm-hmm. And I can understand having fun with him, but like when we're sitting down and comparing the two, which is what I did initially when he came out anyways, it's like, there's really no contest. I mean, it's kind of funny that they give him another power and toughness to make up for the fact that like he's slightly shittier, but whatever.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I was going to make a fun Izzet deck, I would use Nin probably.
Yeah. That's why I asked
him. Nin is kind of like Niv-Mizzet except sweeter.
Yeah. And she's a paint artist. That's awesome. Yeah.
But like, I don't know, if you're big on infinite mana combos, I guess the Draco Genius is slightly better than the, than the other one. There's less triggers if you're gonna infinite combo somebody. Calvin, what do you think of these two in your, you know, biggest, I'm sure you have more Izzet decks than the rest of us. You probably have 0 Izzet decks.
I had one that was in the making.
Frightabor Lumia.
Yeah, right. Between the two, like, I kind of see, I've seen the first one, the original Niv-Mizzet, get down and do his bad thing with, Curiosity. And yes, I've seen him take people out. And there have been times where I've kind of broken the combo using, split second, just so I could, like, stop him from doing what he was doing. I haven't even seen, like, the first one, like, built. I actually have a copy of the new one. And I have a copy of the old one, too, but I've never used it yet. I have a copy of the new one, but I haven't actually seen anyone do anything with it. And kind of like what Cassie was saying, Will said he had tried something with it, and I was like, okay, well, if you are saying it's fun, I guess I'll give it a shot. I mean, you know, I'm all about giving new things a try, especially if they have red in the cost, so. And the fact the new one's a 5/5 is actually kind of cool, but he's not really going to, like, finish the game as fast as the other one would have anyway. Because, like, you know, this guy, he's got to connect. The other one could just, you know, kind of burn you out.
I guess if you're not big on finding pieces, you'll probably draw more cards off of the Draco Genius than you would regular Niv.
Yeah, but the other Niv-Mizzet just does damage whenever you draw a card, which is like a it's almost like an upkeep trigger, whereas this guy, like, I mean, like, yeah. Right, exactly. You actually have to initiate the whole transaction, and it's on a, you know, it can be trick bind. So, you know, so if you get trick binded once, then he can't use his ability for the rest of the turn. Whereas, Niv-Mizzet, you know, you can't really trick bind the triggered abilities to stop them for the entire turn. You could stop his draw ability, his tap and draw ability. But, you know, there's no real way to disrupt it besides like something like, sudden spoiling or something like that. So I get trick binded all the time in my metagame, so I'm always looking at where trick bind can totally hose you out. So
is there an enchantment that has what Draco Genius has, like, backwards? Like, because with the original one, Niv-Mizzet basically has to, whenever you draw a card, Firemind deals 1 damage to target creature or player. And they had, what was it, Curiosity? Whenever enchanted creature deals damage to a player, draw a card. Mm-hmm. So do they have something like an enchantment that says, what was it, whenever you draw a card, deal damage to a player?
There's Words of Wasting, which costs 1. I don't really think there's anything else. Mostly it's stuff that deals damage to you when you draw a card, like Underworld Dreams or, you know, Searing Visions or whatever.
Oh, it would deal damage to me, huh?
But, yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head besides that.
So what you're saying is that the Draco Genius would actually kill me for trying a combo.
Yeah, if you had, like, Seething Visions out, right? That's what it is. The black-red card. You just draw which card.
Spiteful Visions.
Spiteful Visions. I always get that wrong. But actually, you know, with the combo deck, you can't actually kill three players because you don't have, you can't draw enough cards unless you're, like, playing Time Twister in between, you know what I mean? So.
You could, whatchamacallit, if you could get, like, a discard engine in there, you could probably be able to toss some of those things away.
Yeah, I mean, if you had like, Mind Over Matter out or something, then you could toss, Ulamog. Like, that's usually how Mind Over Matter combos work, you know, with, Eldrazi or something.
Fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to compare these cards because they're both good, but it's just so obvious that one is like, you know, a fixed over duct tape version of the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, how would you guys vote here? I think it's Christian's.
Yeah. Saying that though, of course, since I'm tired of the old one, I would rather build a deck around Niv-Mizzet Draco Genius. Surprising nobody, I think.
Yeah. I mean, we've had that as a reasoning for a few things where we're just, like, bored of the old one. I'm going to go the same way. I'm going to vote for the Draco Genius. Just, I mean, we'll mention that. He is kind of fun because he's not overpowered, and he doesn't scare the crap out of everyone, and he doesn't combo off with, like, barely even trying. So,
still probably rather use Nin.
Yeah, I definitely would rather use Nin or Joyra, because Joyra is, like, yeah, she's annoying, but at least that's, like, that's a cooler deck than Niv-Mizzet, in my opinion. I don't know.
Me, personally, if I was going to pick one of these two, I'd probably go with the original Niv-Mizzet, just because of the fact that I kind of like that. I've never actually used the combos that go with him for the curiosity thing, and I would kind of like the idea of trying to give it, like, you know, because either way you look at it, both these generals pretty much are going to do the same thing. Only difference is that one of them I can pay for to draw cards. The other one I don't have to.
Yeah, the other Draco Genius you might actually swing with, though.
Yeah, but I can still swing with the other one too because he's a 4/4 flyer. They're the same mana cost.
Why wouldn't you just tap and draw a card?
Because I don't need to tap and draw the card. I could just, you know, attack, get a 4/4.
I'm pretty sure cards are better than 4/4s. Last time I looked.
So what?
I think you'd rather draw 6 cards than take 6 turns to kill someone with them. That's just me.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I could see using the tap on him, draw a card anytime I choose. I could see using him as, like, a way to attack if I chose to go that route. But there's always, like, the curiosity combo there where I could actually slap that on and just have him kill someone.
There's actually, like, 4 pieces. There's about 4 different cards that he goes infinite with. So,
right, but it's like, you know, like, with the other ones, like, I could see using him as a beater, but the thing is, he's got, like, one more point, so, like, what, anything that I put on this one, pretty much the original one, brings him pretty much within the same range. And he gets me a card, he'll do damage anytime I draw a card, anyway. So, like, you know, he's gonna get me, like, that free upkeep burn spell to knock off a thing or at least do a point of damage here and there. And in those colors, I can always toss down like a Paradox Haze and get 2 upkeeps and stuff. So maybe I can be able to get something else going there. Some type of like counters and mixtures and stuff. I'm not really sure, but I kind of would prefer to go that route. The other way is like, I can't really think of anything I'd want to do that I wouldn't do with the original.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there too. That's like always been my complaint. It's like, they're basically the same guy, so they could go in the exact same deck. It's just like, would you rather have the one that's not gonna piss people off, or would you rather have the one that's gonna win you games? That's kind of like, what it's coming down to. And, I played with him a lot. I built a lot of decks around him, so it's like, I'm pretty bored of the combo. I've done that a bunch of times, but.
He's probably too slow for Maelstrom Wanderer, isn't he?
To put him in a Maelstrom Wanderer deck?
Oh, no, to fight the Maelstrom Wanderer deck.
No, I mean, not necessarily. It depends. If you can land him early enough, all you need to have is one blue and curiosity, and you can win in a one-on-one game, or at least knock out Maelstrom Wanderer. But, yeah, I mean, it's not really much of a competition, I don't think. It's combo deck versus speed deck, I guess.
All right, Kelvin, how about you do Golgari for us?
All right, people.
Ah!
Calvin, also known as Captain Red Zone.
We're coming for you!
Swag.
Be careful, we will!
Into the Red Zone.
Swag.
We're coming for you!
Swag.
Be careful, we will!
Into the Red Zone. Golgari? Sure, why not? Which one did he use?
You wanted to say both, so that we can really shit on Sisters of Stone Death really fast.
Oh, yeah, because they were both guild leaders at one point, right?
Yeah.
That's perfectly fine with me, then. Well, since we're talking about the Golgari next, from my understanding that we have the Golgari, actually, both of their characters, or legends from that set, from the original Ravnica, were guild leaders, quote-unquote, at some point or another. So let's just knock this one out the way. Sisters of the Stone of Stone Death. Four colors, black, green. Legendary Gorgon is a 7/5 and has three abilities. Pay green. Target creature blocks Sister of Stone Death this turn if able. Pay a black and a green. Exile target creature blocking or blocked by Sister of Stone Death. And then the third one is pay two colors and a black. Put a creature card exiled by Sisters of Stone Death onto the battlefield under your control. Now, is she like the actual one we're supposed to be talking about, or are we supposed to be talking about Queen?
I think Sisters of Stone Death were the original guild leader, and then they got killed. And then Savra became the leader.
Okay. Well, just to knock the cards out the way, Savra, Queen of the Golgari, is two colors. Black and green. She's an elf shaman. She's a 2/2. Whenever you sacrifice a black creature, you may pay 2 life. And if you do, each other player sacrifices a creature. Whenever you sacrifice a green creature, you may gain 2 life. And what's the new one? Who, Jared?
Yeah, Jared.
Where are you, Jared? Golgari Lich Lord. He's black, green. Zombie Elf, 2/2. Jerod, Golgari Lich Lord, gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard. He has the ability to say is pay one of black and green, sacrifice another creature. Each opponent loses life equal to sacrifice's creature's power. And then there's another ability that says sacrifice a swamp and a forest to return Jerod from your graveyard to your hand. Now that we've gotten those out the way, like, I guess we should just do, like, an overall comparison of all three. Because, like, if I were going to pick one of these three, I'm kind of, like, leaning towards one of them that we probably would eliminate anyway. But let's start with the Sisters. Sisters of Stone Death being, like, the high mana cost between the two is, like, obviously the other two are, like, 4 mana. They're both elves, and they're both... Well, they're not both shaman, are they? One's a zombie, the other one's a shaman. But they are both 2/2, so they both can't really get the job done in, like, actual combat. Except for Jerod, because he can get bigger because of whatever's in your graveyard. Jerod actually works better with Dredge, which is what was the original mechanic from Ravnica, giving you a reason to actually play green-black things like the green-black Dredge cards like, what was it, Stinkimp? Stinkweed Imp,
hell yeah. I love Stinkweed Imp.
Life from the Loam.
Yeah.
Was Dredge as well. There's a couple other ones there too. But Grave I mean, like, Grave Troll, yeah. And those guys all basically, like, when you mill, they actually would pump, Jerod bigger and bigger and bigger. And also, you can always, if you had to actually play them, you could always sacrifice the Dredge creatures. And Jerod would your opponent would lose life, and Jerod would actually get a little bit bigger, but then you can always dredge them back and put them back into your hand. So you kind of have that going for you as well. Got an additional way of getting that people. And it's each opponent loses life equal to the sacrifice creature's power. So if you sacrifice the 4/4, everybody else is losing 4 but you. And since it's loss of life, it's not like it can be, like, you know, damage prevented or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Because loss of life isn't preventable, is it?
Nope.
With Savra, Queen of the Golgari, one of the things I kind of like about her is the fact she has, like, a built-in grave pact, as long as you're willing to pay 2 life for it. But in this format, you actually have 40 life, so you've got plenty of life to toss around. And if that creature actually happens to be like one of these multicolored split cards like herself, you can actually gain a 2 life anyway, so you really don't really lose anything. Only thing about this is that when you sacrifice a black creature is when you get to activate her ability, so you have to have another sac outlet to be able to use her. And, you know, granted that's not really difficult in green or in black. I mean, they both are, the green is the creature color and black is to sacrifice the color, so I'm pretty sure you can be able to work something around there. Yeah, my only real issue with the two elves is the fact that they're both 2/2s and they kind of start off small. And granted, they do need the deck to kind of work with them. They kind of just have that build around me feel. The Sister of the Stone Death, on the other hand, since she is kind of in this discussion, is actually kind of interesting because of the fact that I kind of would like her if it wasn't for the fact that she was so much damn mana. I mean, I like the idea that I could use her to force people to block her. And if she stayed on the field, I could actually be able to use her to bring creatures back that my opponents have with like a permanent, like a permanent snatch and steal. Because she exiles the creature that blocks her or is blocking her, what she has blocked, and then you have the option to put the creature back. But you have to remember that that third ability of putting a creature that's exiled by Sisters of Stone Death onto the battlefield under your control only works as long as she stays on the battlefield. If she gets blinked or tucked or killed or sent to the command zone and came back, that ability wouldn't work because she's considered a new card when she comes back and everything she's exiled before is just gone. But also, with her being a 7/5, she could be able to pack on the general damage pretty damn quickly. So if you could find a way to give her, like, unblockability, she could be able to take stuff out. And I kind of like the flavor feel she has due to the fact that since she's kind of a Medusa-type creature, she has the ability to, like, she doesn't turn creatures to stone, but she just, like, exiles. She, like, basically exiles, creatures see her and just vanish into exile. So any creature that happens to come in, like, the constant in contact with her as far as combat is concerned and is close enough for her to touch, disappears. Which I think they should have just kind of, like, found a way to just make them into, like, walls or something for her. But you have to remember, this was, like, 10 years ago, and I'm pretty sure the flavor around her wasn't really given that much chance. Chris, Cass, you guys got something you want to say about either one of these three guys? Or this one guy and two chicks? This zombie and... I'm not sure what these Golgari creatures.
In his short lifetime so far, Jared has proven to be really, really, really good. If you're not ready for him, he can pretty much wreck a table. I never saw that with Savra, and, well, I've never seen Sisters of Stone Death in a deck. I'll admit it.
Yeah, I think in this case, too, because it's mostly between Jared and Savra, I think that Savra's better in a Jared deck. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't, like Calvin said, she doesn't have a sacrifice outlet, so she's kind of, her ability's kind of like, if you happen to be playing sac outlets, maybe you'll be better off sacking creatures, you know? But Jared's actually got like a proactive game plan. We talked about this with Boba Rigmos, where he's, you know, his ability just leads you to put more cards in the deck. You know, when I first saw him, like, I thought Lurgoyf right away, Lord of Extinction and stuff, and that's basically how I play Jared. Dredge is amazing in Jared, and it's not as good in the others. excuse me. Yeah, I don't really like Savra as a general much at all. I think Jared is definitely the choice for EDH. He obviously had a little bit of EDH in mind when they made him because he's got the multiplayer component to him, you know. So I just think he's awesome. And the fact that you can keep him pretty cheap, even in light game, with the Swamp and Force thing, like, that's... you can let him go to graveyard and swamp and force him back. That's not a problem. And I think that he's just really good. And, when it comes to the Sisters of Stone Death, that's mostly like Battlecruiser magic to the extreme. Like, I haven't played in many games lately where she would do little of anything. You know what I mean? the other thing about Savra too is that your opponents need to be playing creatures for her to be any good. Whereas if your opponent isn't playing creatures and you're playing Jared, like, basically they have no one to block this gigantic zombie elf, you know, so I think Jared wins it.
Anything else you guys want to say about this thing, or should we just continue on with
it? I think we go to the vote.
Yeah, it's the vote. I thought you guys were doing something. I don't know.
No, not especially.
Okay.
And nothing in particular. Okay, so we're going to go with a vote over these three, and with this actually being the first chance we actually have at three different generals. If I had to say there was one I wanted to build a deck around, I would probably say Savra, Queen of the Gilgari. I mean, Jared's cool. Don't get me wrong. Jared is awesome. But I kind of like the sacrifice a creature thing. And I'm kind of leaning towards Sisters of Stone Death as like a very close second, because I kind of really enjoy the three abilities that she's got. But you have to remember, I'm always about like the combat phase anyway, and creatures that interact with blocking and non-blocking stuff catch my attention real quick.
Well, when I won Andy's Savra deck, I said no to it and left it in Canada. So I don't think I would pick Savra. But I would actually pick, if I was going to build a deck around any of the three Golgari legends, and I'm pretty sure we felt me leaning towards this way as I kept reading the cards, I would probably pick Sisters of Stone Death, because it's got asinine, dirtly abilities that don't matter at the 8-mana phase, except like, oh look, I stole your land of War Elf, man. You're gonna get beat down now. So of course that's the path I would want to go.
Yeah, I definitely would build around Jared. I built a deck for him when he came out in the Golgari box thing with Mizza earlier this year, and I just think he's really cool. I like he reminds me a lot of like Giv, Guru of Spores, in that he's like kind of a total package when it comes to his abilities. All you really need to do is just plug in some creatures and he's good to go. Like I said, Savra's better off in his deck. She just doesn't do enough by herself to make me want to play her. And, you know, there's Grave Pact as it is, whatever. And then, you know, Sisters, kind of like you guys mentioned, she'd be a fun deck, but, I mean, I would just never get to play her, so it'd almost be like not having a general. So yeah, I would totally roll with, the Lich Lord. Plus, being a zombie elf is just far superior tribal, you know, you can do so much tribal cool stuff with both of those, and not so much with the other ones, so.
Alright, well, Cassidy, it looks like you've got the best guild now, and probably the hardest decision.
Oh yeah. Okay, so let's do Selesnya then. Let's just get right to it. Let me see if I can find it. Oh god, this is so bad.
It's so awesome.
Okay. Okay, so we have... Oh god. Oh, I'm throwing up a little in my mouth. Okay, we have Chorus of the Conclave. It is 4 green-green black... No, it's green-green white-white. Sorry. So that's 8. So it's the same mana cost as Sister of Stone Death, so you already know that you're just gonna have a pile of shit. And then you see the 3/8 for its power and toughness, and you're just like, ugh. It's a dryad, so, you know, whatever.
Forest Walk.
It has Forest Walk, which hasn't been relevant in a really long time. But, so here's the ability. Wait, it doesn't even have Convoke? I thought it had Convoke. Wow. Wow. As an additional cost to cast creature spells, you may pay any amount of mana. If you do, that creature enters the battlefield with that many +1/+1 counters on it. So, it's a kind of cool ability. I mean, maybe you could do something with Persist in it, but mostly it's just 8 for 3/8. Oh god. Okay. Okay, I'm over it. Let's go on to the new Selesnya guy, which I actually like a lot. It's actually a chick, even though if you looked at the picture, you'd never fucking know. It's Trostani, Selesnya's voice, who is green-green, white-white, 4 total, which is so nice. Legendary creature, Dryad, so I'm guessing he's a dude from the chorus, probably, right? The voice of the chorus? That sounds right? Or I guess there's a lot of voices. Who knows? Anyways, Trostani's 2/5, which is pretty good for a 4 to cast. Not bad. Now, first off, whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you gain life equal to that creature's toughness. That's probably the best life-gaining ability in Magic. You know, so passive, you can get a lot, and it's in white and green. We just saw Chorus has a 8 for a butt, you know, so you'd be gaining 8 life for casting that stupid thing. And there's a lot of big monsters that can hit play, like, I got beat by an Autochthon Worm the other day. in all fairness, I did Chaos Warp asceticism, and that's what it turned into, so. But it was pretty savage getting beaten by a giant 9/14 creature. Anyways, now the other ability that Trostani has is pay 1 colorless, green, white, so 3 total, and then tap to populate. And, populate, for those who don't know, you basically proliferate one token and make a copy of it. Tristani has like this kind of ability built in. She makes tokens and gains life from those tokens. It's nice. I like Tristani a lot. There's like some cards that just are immediately amazing with her. Phyrexian Processor, anything where you can, where your creatures get bigger based on your life. Sarah's Ascendant, or no, Sarah's Avatar, which is XX for your life total. You play it, your life doubles, and that thing's huge. And then you can, if you can make a copy of it, if you can make a token out of it, you can populate and just have ridiculous amounts of life. So I'm a big fan of Tristani. Obviously, Course of the Conclave is terrible, but what do you guys think?
Course of the Conclave is pretty terrible. I thought Convoke was a terrible mechanic. It's just so much work and brain power. Not that I really like Populate either, but I wasn't going to build a deck around Convoke, and I especially wasn't going to build a deck around Course of the Conclave. It's like, oh look, I've spent 8 mana to cast this guy, and now I can start pumping my other dudes. Nah.
Yeah, especially when there's something like Cathar's Crusade available. no thanks.
I mean, not that I'm big on Tristani, but compared to the Chorus, it's, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm trying to think of anything I can think of that might make the Chorus interesting. But even a Quicksilver Amulet is not saving this beast.
Or an Elvish Piper or anything.
No, those don't help him from the command zone. Yeah, the only way that you could do any of that stuff is to have her in the deck, and that means she's not the commander. Even in green and white, if I'm ramping up to 8 mana, at this point in the game, I'd probably be rather spending that mana towards maybe getting a Ulamog's Crusher or something. Anything else other than something that's just going to make shit bigger. It doesn't even do it for free. I gotta pay extra for that.
it's like a cell phone contract.
Yeah,
you know what? Yeah, that's actually a pretty good comparison, then, Cass. She's a cell phone. She's T-Mobile. She's the T-Mobile of Ravnica. She finds a way to charge you all your mana to force you to do something that technically you could have gotten for free somewhere else. And at least with Tristania. At least with her, when creatures come in, you gain life and it's free. It just happens. You gotta pay for the populate, but still, when the populate token comes in, you get life for that for free. You don't have to worry about paying all that extra mana just to get plus one counters. Would it even be worth it with a doubling season out?
Yeah, it would double the amount. Populate would double.
Yeah, but even then, with the other chick, I still have to pay mana, and granted, say it's already 8 turns, and let's say I paid for 2/2 and I give it 3 counter. Doubling season gives it 6, but still, that means I just had to pay 5 mana for 6/6?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's not even good then, no.
But with the other one, it's populate with Tristani is I could, granted I paid 3 mana, I make a token, but yeah, I get 2 tokens with a doubling season. And yes, then I get to gain twice as much life. So it's if I use it on a 2/2, I'd get 2/2 creatures and I'd gain 4 life for 3 mana. That's perfectly fine. I'd accept that. Oh God, why? Right.
Why are we talking about this so long? Let's vote.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Because I'm trying to find a way to make her interesting, but there's nothing I can think of.
I wouldn't even pick her as a stupid card.
No, yeah, it's worse than that.
Why does it have Forest Walk?
Because it's a dryad.
Because it wants, you can 7 turn someone to death who's playing green. Alright, so, if I had to build around them, and I have, I would choose Tristani Selesnya's voice. I mentioned why she's awesome, and she's definitely not Course of the Conclave.
Yeah. When I would also build around Tristani Selesnya's voice, because it's not Course of the Conclave.
Oh, God. That, you know what? It's unanimous, Tristani, all the way. Course of the Conclave is just... She's not worth even a spot in a deck that she could possibly think about being in. I wouldn't even put her in a deck meant for walls.
I was thinking that too, like putting her in Doran, but then it's like, that's just a lot of work for nothing.
But even her deck with Doran, she's a, what, like an 8-3?
No, I mean, she's essentially an 8-8.
8-8, yeah.
Forest Walk.
Yeah, but... Then I can understand it, but anything else, like, you play after that boy, just, you know, be prepared to pay that extra mana. It's like a bad version of Extort.
You sound like the guy who won't get cheese because it costs 30 cents right now.
Like the dad from Everybody Hates Chris. 30 cents worth of cheese.
Well, Terry Crews is, I wouldn't mess with Terry Crews.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, kids, well, there you go. We finally trudged through the bum guilds of Ravnica. If you guys have different opinions, and I'm sure you do, why not email the show at offcolorcast@gmail.com? Nobody is. I know you guys have emails. Ain't emailing us. Let's see how it is. All right. Okay. Hey, let's finish it.
Yes.
All right, children, you've survived episode 40 of Off Color Cast. Isn't that great? I'm Chris. Easiest way to get a hold of me is to hit me up on Twitter at @ChristianRenault or email the show, which none of you do, at offcolorcast@gmail.com. Cassidy, say goodbye.
Thanks for listening to episode 40. You can catch my articles over on TCG Player Thursdays and or Friday. I'm at Ryder Braun on the Twitter thingy, and I don't really mind if you guys don't email us, because I really don't give a shit.
Alright, Calvin, bring us on home.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin, also known as Captain Resonator, and if you're looking for me, you can always find me on Twitter at Captain Red Zone, or you can go to Gmail, CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. We have the Off Color Cast Facebook group and Facebook page. Even though we haven't been receiving emails, I put up a comment on on the Facebook page about the argument we had 2 weeks ago for the two Boros Angels, Aurelia versus Gisela. Yeah, Gisela versus Aurelia. Here we go. All these damn red white angels. And yeah, we actually got like some comments up there, and I'm gonna bring those up next week. And I'm thinking about extending this out a little bit, and but more likely by the time you hear this, it'll already be over. But it's gonna end up being like, I'm just gonna put down the other red white legendary creatures on this poll to see what other people would think about who would be a better general overall. Might be a nice little topic for next week after, for the week after this episode comes out.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And also, if you feel like going off into an area where you can only, where even sunlight and the touch of the almighty Boros Legion will not go, you can go to Google Plus and you can try to find us there. I'm pretty sure that's where most of the Dvamir hold their guild meetings, but I'm not even sure if they even know that place exists. Let's see. You can always go to the website, offcolorcast.com, comment on the show there. We check comments, but
you
know.
Ain't doing that either.
Ain't no one doing that either, so.
Can't say I blame it for that one, though, because Blogspot's pretty shitty for comments.
Yeah, but still, like, there's no comments, there's no twits, no twatters coming at us, there's no emails coming at us. I mean, come on, people. I know you guys hear us. I know you guys are voting. I've seen the votes. I can see the download numbers. Don't make me have to come out to your local areas and start picking you out. I know.
I mean, it might just be that we're already perfect, so nobody has anything to say.
Nah, since Andy left CommanderCast, no one cares anymore.
Andy, you done broke everybody's heart. Come back to us, boy. Come back to us.
All right. Okay, so Calvin's probably about to mention Beardy Plays, so hit up twitch.tv/beardyplays, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.
See you guys later. There you go.